You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
Amen. Well, my name is Jenny. Woo! And, yeah. And I have the honor and privilege of ministering to y'all tonight and just talking. And I like this setup because, see, I've got a little chair here. And it's just like we're sitting down, and y'all can sit down if you want. Yeah. It's just like we're at Starbucks or something, just, you know, chatting. Just a really big Starbucks and a big group. But I know that the Lord has a word for tonight, and I know I'm expectant to see what he brings out, and I'm so aiming to say exactly what he wants to be said. So I encourage y'all to open your heart, not to hear my words, but to hear the words of God, because he has things for you tonight. Do you believe that? All right, Father, we thank you for tonight. We come to you and we are yielded completely to you. Father, we open our hearts to hear your voice. We open up our eyes to see and open up our ears to hear, Father. You are a good Father, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want everyone to turn to 1 Peter 2. Woo! 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Tonight, we are talking about being set apart. Say, set apart. God has chosen to set us apart. He has chosen to set you apart, to distinguish you, and to make you different than the world. Do you believe that? 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, let me find it. You are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show the others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We have been translated, we have been placed in another kingdom. And it's not the kingdom of darkness. What kingdom is it? The kingdom of light. It says it's the kingdom of Jesus. That when we made Jesus the Lord of our lives, we were translated. If you have one phrase in English and you need to take it to a whole nother language, take it to Spanish, what do you have to do? You have to translate it. Are the words anything alike? No. It's a completely different language. It's completely different. And so when we were translated, we were made new creations. We were made a new person in this kingdom of light. And when that happened, when you made Jesus, and if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, we'll have a chance to do that tonight. But when you say yes to Jesus, he takes the old you and brings you over and makes you new. He makes you a new creation. And when he does that, you have been set apart for a purpose. Every single one of us, God has set us apart for something. If you see a row of everybody wearing white t-shirts, okay, and then say one person wore a red t-shirt, they would be set apart, right? There's just something different about that. And so just like that, we have been set apart. The definition for set apart is to select something or someone for a specific purpose. That is what we have been given, is a purpose, and we've been set apart for it. He chose to make us his holy people. So that means that we belong. Say, I belong. If you ever start feeling like nobody loves you, like you have no friends, or you just don't belong anywhere, in any group, remember, I belong. God has brought me to himself, so I belong in this kingdom. I belong as his person. Say, I'm his person. Let's go to Exodus 8. Do you remember when Pharaoh had the Israelites in captivity and God told Moses to go and set his people free? And God told him everything that he was going to do. He was going to send these plagues, and then Pharaoh would finally release the Israelites. And so when all of these plagues happened, the locusts, the frogs, darkness, in Exodus 8, verse 23, God's people, where were God's people? When there was all that darkness, where was God's people? In the light. There was a distinction between God's people and the people that weren't his. And that was, they were in the light. In Exodus 8:23, I love how it says it. It's talking about swarms of flies on officials and people and houses on the Egyptians. That just sounds gross to me. Flies, and it makes you want to be God's person at that moment when you hear about frogs jumping. And, you know, one frog is really disgusting. Just imagine, like, tons of frogs, and you can't step without stepping on it, and all of its guts are going everywhere. And it makes you want to be God's person. But he said, I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people. So just like the Israelites were distinguished and as God's people because of Jesus, say Jesus, because of Jesus, we have been brought over to be God's special possession. As that says, a chosen generation, God has chosen you and your generation and set apart you and your generation for purpose. And aren't you thankful for it? I'm thankful that he has chosen to be with us. And we're going to get into different, why we should look different or what marks distinguish us. Let's go to, let's see, Lord. How about Malachi 3? It's right before Matthew. Go to the New Testament and go back one page. Malachi 3, verse 17. It says, they will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On that day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will see again the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. So if God calls us his own special possession, that's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, the God Almighty, it says the Lord of heaven's armies, those angels, that God has called me his special possession. That means I belong to him. You belong to him. So there are three ways that we are distinguished. There are three ways that we are different. And there's more than three. There's probably infinity. But for the sake of time, we're talking about three. But the first one is love in you. Second one, his presence with you. And the third, his light through you. So that's his love in you, his presence with you, and his light through you. Jesus said in John 13, 35, you can just write that down. But he said, by this people are going to know that you are my disciples, that you're my followers, that you love one another. There is no other love like the love of God. The world doesn't have the love of God. They have a form of love. They have a love that might be big and might be great, but nothing compares to God's love. Nothing. That agape love, the only one, the only kingdom that can love in agape love is the kingdom of God. And anything else is a cheap imitation. But God's love has been given to us. Let's go to 1 John 2. It says in let's go to verse 3. We can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. How did Jesus live his life? In love, right? He lived in loving the unlovable. He lived by treating people with that agape love. And people were drawn to him. People, it doesn't talk, we don't, when we think about Pharisees or Sadducees or the religious people, there were religious people that chose to come to Jesus because they were drawn by his goodness and his love. Nicodemus was an example of that. He came, he said, how can I be born again? And he did. But God's love is in you. It says in Romans 5, you can just write it down, Romans 5:5, that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So because of the Holy Spirit, we have that love in us. And the world, does the world have the Holy Spirit? No. Only people that believe and receive have the Holy Spirit living inside them, have that helper. What's another distinguishing mark is the Holy Ghost. That's not one of our points, but you can write down. But the Holy Spirit, the world doesn't have that spirit, but we do. We have a helper. We have the answers because of that. All right. Number two, his presence with you. Oh, aren't you thankful for the presence of God? Once again, the enemy, the world, they don't have that presence with them, the presence of God. Yesterday I was talking to somebody whose family member is in the hospital, and they had been praying in the spirit and worshiping and playing worship music and just standing in faith for this person. And they told me that the people next door to them, people that maybe didn't even talk to them, they said, when I come past your room, there's peace. When I come past your room, there's so much peace, and I can sense that God is there. That's his presence. People might not even understand what that is, but they just know that that's the that's something. Something is different. Something's different about that room than it is in this room. There's something different. And that's the presence of God. In Matthew 18:20, let's look there. Once again, I want to reiterate that you belong. We belong to God. It says in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three gather together in my name, I am there among them. What does that mean? Are we here in the name of Jesus? Are we here lifting Jesus Christ up, that he is our Lord and Savior in his name? Are we here doing that? Are there more than two of us together? There's a lot of us here. So that means, what does that mean? Do you believe the word of God is true? So who's here right now? Jesus. He's here in this room. And that is a distinguishing mark of being a Christian, of being set apart for his purpose, set apart for him. Romans 13:14 says to clothe yourself with the presence of Christ. That means you are walking in that presence. As you go in the halls of your schools, in anywhere you go, to put on the presence of God, put on the love of God that you've been given so that people will know that you are his disciple. If you stood up next to somebody that was in the world, you have to ask yourself, would they be able to see a difference in me? If somebody was looking at me and they put me side by side, would they be able to distinguish something different about me than what's in the world? It's a good question. If it's no, which all of us, you know, all of us come to the place of not always looking like Jesus 100% of the time, but don't you want to? Don't you want to glorify him in your life? And so in Romans 12, verse 2, let's go there too. Got to check my time. Romans 12, verse 2. It's very important to take hold of that distinction, to not go away from it, but to run towards it, to run towards being different. It's okay to be different. People thought John the Baptist was weird and different. People thought Jesus was weird and different. People probably think you're weird and different. Do they? Maybe. I know people think I'm weird and different. But if that means it's different because the love of God and the presence of God and the light of God is in me and on me, I'm okay with being different. And in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So that's saying, don't copy what you see the world doing. Don't copy that. But you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Staying in the Word of God, staying in His presence. You renew your mind, and He's going to change the way that you think. And so if we look just like the world, then how are they going to come to know Him without us doing anything? It says in Romans 10, it says, how are they going to know without a preacher? How is somebody going to go unless they're sent? So you have been sent as a set apart one to exemplify and be an example of Jesus, not be another person that's lost. The blind cannot lead the blind. But somebody that sees and knows the truth, when you are set apart in that way, people are going to see that. People are going to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then the third distinction is his light through you. And this is a big one to me because that his light on you is going to be what people see and come to him. Why are all these distinctions happening? Why did God set us apart so that we could say, oh, by the way, I'm holy, I'm righteous, Don't you want my autograph? I'm set apart. Is that why he set us apart? So we could just, you know, be, you know, just bragging and prideful? No. Why did he set us apart? For a purpose. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, I have ordained you and set you apart. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And if you read, it's pretty interesting. Jeremiah 1, if you read through there, God tells Jeremiah to tell the people some pretty crazy things, like you are coming in, showing them all these visions and everything, just things that you probably wouldn't want to tell anybody, but he was set apart for that purpose. So sometimes God sets you apart and appoints you for some exciting things. but his light on you is what is going to bring people to him. It says in Matthew 5, let's go there. Matthew 5, verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Jesus wasn't talking to himself. He was talking to his disciples. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Say, everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That's the light of God. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. So Jesus told us that we're the light of the world. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. This has to be one of my favorite scriptures. Second Corinthians 4, verse 5. It says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Once again, can the world see that? Can the world know the glory of God or that kingdom of darkness? The kingdom of light, that's a distinction. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Say, great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So every one of us, when we said yes to Jesus, we're filled with the power of God, filled with this great treasure and this great light. So that when our light shines, it's going to give light to everyone in the house. Our light, the power of God that's inside these jars of clay, these fragile bodies, that treasure is in you. God has put a light in you to shine. You were set apart because of this power that's inside of you. And the enemy, let me tell you, the enemy cannot withstand this light. The darkness, it says in John 1, it says, the darkness cannot even comprehend the light. The light always wins out. And so I want everybody to stand up. And I want you to put your hand right here, okay? I want you to think about how you have been set apart, that because you said yes to Jesus, he has filled you with this great treasure of his power. The world doesn't have this. The world can't say that they have the power of God residing in them. Is it so we can say, oh, well, we're just better than the world? No, it's so that the world would come to him. And so when you enter in these next months and go into your school, you be very aware that there's a light on me. I know I'm supposed to be letting my light shine so that it's giving light to these people in the house, that people will come to Jesus. I have been set apart. I belong to him. When people see me, I believe they won't see me, but they'll see Jesus. That when people see me or hear me, they won't hear me, but they'll hear Jesus. And that when people come to me, they're coming to this light, but they're not coming to me. They're coming to Jesus. And you'll be on a mission. It's an awesome thing. So, Father, we thank you for this treasure that you have placed on the inside of us, that we have been set apart as your own special possession and your own treasure. Father, we thank you for it. Lord, I pray over every one of these students, Lord, over every one of these youth, that you begin to shine and show them their part in this, Lord, that you have set them apart. We thank you for it, for your purpose, Lord, and that they will be renewed and stir up the gift that's on the inside of them. I thank you for the helper, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, for the distinctions that are on them, Lord, that they begin to walk. And Father, I thank you in advance for the testimonies of people that are coming to you, Jesus. People that are seeing the difference, seeing the distinction between the world and the kingdom of heaven, Father. And I thank you for empowering these people, empowering all of us, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I have to tell a quick story. Brother Jerry Savelle, he was walking in the mall one day, and he was just going, I think, shopping with his wife. And this lady ran up to him. She said, I have to tell you, I've been following you all around the mall. She said, it was like a light just bouncing up and down. She said, I just saw a light bouncing all around the mall. And she said, I had to find you. Well, it probably wasn't, you know, his head or his hair. What did it have to be? The light of God. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this lady did not know who he was, that he was a minister or whatever. She just saw this light bouncing up and down in the mall. And she came to him, and I don't remember the rest of the story. I'm sure she got saved or something. But isn't that cool, though? There's something different about us. And people are going to see and give glory to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love y'all so much. This is awesome.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.